You've probably seen bishops, when they're in Mass, they have a staff that they carry around. The technical name for this staff is a crozier. And I remember when I was a kid, I'd always see the bishop with this crozier, and it was kind of always silver or maybe gold colored. And I wondered, okay, what is this? What is this kind of staff that he's carrying around? And of course, the crozier, as we know, is modeled on a shepherd's crook, something that a shepherd kind of carries around. You can think of the shepherd's crook as like a Swiss Army knife for a shepherd. It's like a multi-tool. A shepherd uses this for many purposes. And I had to look up actually what a shepherd's crook is about, because I have to confess, I've never been a shepherd. I've never had to take care of sheep. But the shepherd's crook they use for a lot of things, apparently. Apparently the shepherd's crook is like a staff. It's almost a weapon to use against kind of wild beasts that might attack the sheep. The shepherd's staff also sometimes helps the shepherd if there's very like high grass and the sheep might get lost in that grass. They use their staff to kind of clear the grass so they can find the sheep. Of course, kind of the most striking part of the shepherd's crook is the hook on the top. And if I read correctly on Wikipedia, this hook is used to shave sheep who have maybe fallen into a trench. They can grab them by the neck or by the leg and bring them to safety. So as we see with bishops, and also we find this in the Bible, the shepherd's crook, but more so shepherds in general, are an important image for leaders. In the Bible, we see this very strongly. Leaders are oftentimes described as shepherds. And sometimes we find in the Old Testament that some leaders were literally shepherds before they became leaders of God's people. We can look, for example, of Moses, of David. Both were shepherds before they became leaders of the people of God. And as we go further within the prophetic literature, the image of a shepherd is a very, very powerful symbol about good leaders and bad leaders. In, for example, the book of the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 34, a shepherd is described as someone who can either be a good leader of the people or a bad leader. And the prophet Ezekiel really takes to task some of the kings of Israel who led them astray. At the same time, the prophet Ezekiel talks about how some kings were good shepherds. They sacrificed for the people. The prophet Ezekiel, however, points out a hope that God would send an ultimate shepherd, the good shepherd, we could say, who is going to take care of his sheep in an extraordinary way. The shepherd would be, in the end, the Messiah, the Savior of the people. Today in the gospel, Jesus Christ identifies himself as this good shepherd. The gospel we heard from John's gospel today really picks up this shepherd imagery we read about in the Bible, especially in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Jesus identifies himself as this good shepherd, the Messiah who was promised, who will be God himself, who will lead the people and save the people by laying down his life for them. We see that in the gospel how Jesus is this good shepherd to us. The gospel describes how Jesus knows each and every one of us intimately. We're not just some sheep who are numbered within a flock. Jesus knows our name. He knows who we are. He knows our hearts. As well in the gospel, we see that Jesus is this good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He just doesn't care for us, but he's actually willing to sacrifice himself so that we may have life. This image of Jesus being a good shepherd is, of course, a very poignant one. We find it in a lot of art. We also see it in movies and in books. So one interesting place we find this in books is in Lord of the Rings. And I probably talked about this before. I'm a big fan. But Lord of the Rings, written by J.R.R. Tolkien, has a lot of Catholic imagery. So in Lord of the Rings, Tolkien has various figures who kind of represent Jesus. You can't kind of say one person is Christ, but there's a few leaders or figures in Lord of the Rings who represent different aspects of Christ. And it seems that the character of Gandalf, this wizard, represents Jesus as the good shepherd. So you'll notice when you see Gandalf, what does he carry in his hand? He's also carrying a staff, right? And Gandalf, as we see, is a leader of this Fellowship of the Rings. He knows personally and intimately each person that he is leading, that he is caring for. And in the end, as we go through this story, Gandalf also sacrifices himself for those who he leads. There's one really incredible and dramatic scene when this fellowship that Gandalf is leading is passing through this deep, dark mine in the middle of the earth, and they're passing over this narrow bridge. And as they're passing over this narrow bridge, there's darkness, kind of an infinite drop below them. And they're being pursued by this terrible sort of evil creature called a Balrog. And Gandalf and the Fellowship are fleeing away from this evil creature. And they're going along this bridge. And you've probably seen this in the movies or read it in the book. It's a very kind of dramatic scene where Gandalf lets the other members of the Fellowship pass on to safety. And he stands there in the middle of the bridge, and he faces this kind of this demon, this Balrog creature, and he says to him in this loud voice, "You shall not pass." And he takes that staff, we can think of that again like the shepherd's crook, and he bangs that bridge and he destroys the bridge, and both him and this evil creature fall into the depths below. And as it seems then at that moment, Gandalf has sacrificed himself so that others may have life. And really, this is a beautiful image or descriptor of who Jesus is. Jesus is this good shepherd who knows each of us personally, who sacrifices himself for us. One really interesting twist of this gospel is that Jesus isn't just the good shepherd for us, but is the good shepherd for all, for everybody. And in John's gospel, we heard this. Jesus kind of says something that's a bit surprising to his disciples. He says, "I have sheep in other flocks. They also I must care for." And this is a very important message for the early church, just as it was for us. Sometimes we can think, and we're so happy to have Jesus as our Savior, we can think that we alone possess Christ, that we alone are the flock that Jesus cares for. But in reality, Jesus has come to care for all people, whether they be Catholic, whether they be Christian, whether they be of no religion at all or any religion. Jesus is there to sacrifice himself for all people. We don't possess Jesus. Pope Francis often uses this image about the church and how we need to let Jesus out into the world. Pope Francis takes that image, and maybe you've seen that painting where Jesus is at the outside of a house and he's knocking at the door, wanting to be let into this house. And this is an image taken from the book of Revelation. And the image teaches us about how we should let Christ into our hearts, into our life. And Pope Francis, sometimes in his speeches, flips this image on its head. Pope Francis says he imagines sometimes that we can close Jesus up inside the church, and Jesus is in the inside knocking so that people let him out into the world. That is us, the church. That we are here, we are called to bring Christ into the world, Christ's goodness, his love, his peace out to all people. We, of course, rejoice to have such a good shepherd, but we want to share this good shepherd with others. We, in the end, let Christ out into the world when we embrace our baptismal identity. In baptism, each and every one of us are linked to Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And so in baptism, we become, or should become, good sheep. We should become good followers of Jesus, who listen to his voice, know how to follow him. At the same time, in baptism, we don't just remain sheep. We also are called to imitate Christ, the Good Shepherd. In our baptism, we are each joined to Christ, who is priest, prophet, and king. We are called to imitate Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in this world. We have a mission that goes beyond this church to bring Christ's message of love, build up the kingdom of God around us. And this really is what we do and what we call our vocation, our calling. Now, on this Sunday as well, we pray for vocations. And vocations are this calling we receive in baptism to be a good sheep, to be holy, to follow Jesus, but also to go into the world in some way and to build up God's kingdom. The Second Vatican Council especially reminds us of this, that each and every one of us have a vocation, a calling, not just religious or priests, but all married people, single people, we're all called to go out into the world to build up this kingdom of God, to imitate Christ the Good Shepherd. We share then Christ's goodness of being a good shepherd when we go out into the world and fulfill our baptismal call, when we embrace our vocation. So each and every Mass, and especially today, we have this great reminder that we are called by Christ in our baptism to go into the world and to share Christ the Good Shepherd with others. And we can remember this in a special way with the last or close to last words at the end of Mass. You'll know that at the end of Mass, we have different dismissal kind of prayers. Go in peace, the Mass is ended. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. But remember, the first word is always go. And of course, that might be kind of a feeling for us, okay, we've been in church long, let's get out of here. But this, of course, is a call to mission. The very end of Mass is a call to mission. We're reminded to go, to bring Christ out into the world. So then on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we give thanks to God that we have such a loving, caring shepherd. At the same time, we ask God for that grace to embrace our vocation, to go out into the world and to bring Christ to those around us.